Hello and welcome to this week's Boat Briefing. My name is Charlotte Hogarth-Jones and here to join me with all the news from the world of super yachting is Cecile Gower, our US editor. Hi Cecile, how is it going?
I'm doing great. Here we are, back again. Where has everybody been?
Well, yeah, it's been pretty quiet, hasn't it? I think, you know, as we all know, most of the Italian boat building fraternity goes off in August to actually spend time on their own boats and have fun at the beach, which I think is a brilliant idea. So that's where they've all been. My emails have been on the quieter side and lots of holidays for everyone, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, that's a good time to do that for sure before school starts. Mm-hmm. Mercifully, it looked like it was also quiet on disaster end of things. Although there was a big storm, I guess I heard in Italy, with high winds, and in Marina di Carrara, there was a trimaran, one of those racing catamaran that was picked up by the wind and then fell back to the ground, and probably caused quite a bit of damages to the boat. But other than that, I think it was a little bit quieter than usual. No fires that I heard.
You think wrong, Cecile. I'll correct you there.
Oh, dear.
I mean, it seems to have been just weeks of nonstop disaster in the super yacht world. So no surprise that this weekend, pretty much, there's been another one. We had some news that we'll run through it in the news story later on, but news just in this morning, so that's Monday, you'll be listening to this on Wednesday, that the 39.4 metre yacht My Saga has sunk in northern Italy, around 8 nautical miles from Cantazzaro Marino in the Gulf of Squillace. So that's obviously quite bad. And then also, ARIA-SF, who we were speaking about last week after that big fire, well, she's now sunk. She remained in the waters of Cap Martinet until August 14th and is currently lying at a depth of around 12 meters. So plenty of drama and disasters, which is terrible, really. But that trimaran sounds like expensive to me. I hear racing caravan and up in the air and trimaran, and I just think, oh, that's not going to be a cheap disaster.
Yeah, I'm afraid probably not. Well, that's what I get for staying away from my phone over the weekend, huh? No, didn't follow the yacht news on our chat. So, but well, when I was looking for some stuff that we could discuss this week, since things had been on the whole, except for this weekend, obviously, a little bit more quiet than usual, I came across this very strange story. Apparently a sailing yacht, which was believed to have been lost in a storm in June while traveling in the Arabian Sea from Oman to Europe, washed up on a beach in a village in India, about 200 kilometers from Mumbai. And it created quite a stir because inside the search party that went to look at the boat found AK-47 rifles and bullets. So the first thought on everybody's mind was an act of terrorism, right? But it wasn't that. The sailing yacht, which is called the Lady Anne, was sailing under the British flag. And what apparently happened is that its engine failed during a big storm and the crew issued a mayday. They were rescued by a ship, but the rescuers could not do anything for the boat. They tried to tow it, but the weather was so bad they couldn't do that. So they had to let go of the boat. And the reason for the weapons on board appears to be that a firm based in Dubai was providing security against Somali pirates and to ensure the yacht's safe passage to the Suez Canal. So anyway, when he got caught in the storm, there was no time to recover anything on board. And maybe it was a bit of a shock to the owners to hear the boat had turned up in India. Now everybody is trying to figure out how to get it back home and recover it.
God, that is a mad story. Imagine discovering that. That's insane.
Yeah, apparently it's this really kind of a small remote village and they didn't know what to do with this fairly big sailing boat. I couldn't actually find the size of the boat, but there were some pictures. It was a pretty substantial sailing yacht. And then, of course, to find his weapons on board, I had to pretty much raise a few eyebrows for sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's funny because, well, not funny, but recovering boats is always kind of an issue. And it so happens that one of the best read stories on boatinternational.com, Charlotte, maybe you know this, is a story that we wrote about Blue Gold, which is a yacht that washed ashore during Cyclone Pam and has been stuck in Vanuatu ever since. I think it was 2015 or something like that. Still there. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I love that story. It's I've read it quite a few times. I can see why people are fascinated in it, because there's something a bit kind of, you know, I don't know, piratey or Treasure Island, like the idea of boats washing up in parts of the world and their owners not knowing where they've ended up. But it seems like it's a real complex operation to kind of rescue these things when that does happen. And it's pretty complicated. And I think in Blue Gold, that's still there, right?
As far as I know, yes. I tried to look recently to see if I saw some updates, but I didn't go back to Google Earth to see it. Apparently, you can see it when you go on Google Earth. But it's really complicated in these remote areas, and then the laws, and then, of course, the cost of the rescue, and then the salvage operation, or especially Vanuatu, it's so remote. So, yeah. Anyway, that was an interesting bit of news. And something else that I thought was interesting is an update on the charter business here in this area. You probably know in the U.S., the Bahamas is quite an important yachting destination. Very popular one and a favorite one. A lot of people go back every year. And for the past 10 years, the Bahamas has become quite the hub for yachting. Of late, there's been quite a few marinas that have upgraded and improved their berth and, you know, upgraded the docks and so forth. With all this success going on, a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, I think, the Brokers Association locally tried to do a charter show in Nassau, and it was very well attended. Last year, it didn't happen for obvious reasons. But I just heard this week that they will be back this year. So there'll be a new charter show after a one-year hiatus, which will be held in Nassau on February 23rd to the 26th. It's the Bahamas Charter Yacht Show.
I bet that's going to be super popular. Like you say, there's a huge group of Americans that just love the Bahamas and go there year on year. And, you know, a growing pool of new yacht owners that are looking to charter boats. And seeing how successful some of the US shows have been recently. I mean, even, you know, the Palm Beach Boat Show, when it was in the middle of the pandemic, was kind of going ahead and was absolutely buzzing. So I can imagine this will be really busy and very successful, and I guess very useful for anyone who's looking at chartering in that part of the world.
Yeah, and on top of that, you know, it's become different. It used to be the Bahamas was strictly a winter charter destination, but no longer. You know, in the last few years, people have just stayed for the summer. Yes, there is like it's hurricane season, but, you know, that's something that you know ahead of time and you can plan for. And obviously there are places where you can put your boat. But people have actually gone to the Bahamas after April, which traditionally was the end of the charter season in that part of the world in years past. But while the Bahamas' popularity is rising, the same can't be said for the Caribbean. I was just having a conversation with some charter brokers recently, and they predict the Caribbean season will be a bit challenging this year. They attributed it in part to the fact that the British Virgin Islands government have changed their rules with charter. They're quite disruptive things. I mean, I'm sure they had good reasons to want to change the rules, but it's caused a bit of disruption. And without the ability to go to the British Virgin Islands, I guess some owners are reconsidering whether they want to take their boat down to the Caribbean, because the BVIs are a big part of the fun of cruising the Caribbean in winter, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially for boat owners, right? It's the kind of, you know, it's one of the key stops on any itinerary. But yeah, I'm so sad to hear that. And pretty much this time last year, like last September, I was in Antigua and they had said the same thing, not necessarily for charter, but for all yachts. They said they'd had far fewer yachts since the pandemic. And obviously around then, there was still quite a lot of uncertainty over travel and things like that. So it's interesting to see that this is still a kind of lingering issue. And like you say, those kind of regulations and things, that must be frustrating for charter yacht owners. You just want to get on with things and get back to business.
For sure.
But I'm going to Grenada in October, so I can report back from my sun lounger if I've not been swept up by a hurricane and let you know if there seem to be many yachts around there. But yeah, hopefully, I mean, everyone loves the Caribbean. I can't imagine that being a lasting problem, but it's a shame.
Probably not.
It's a shame when those regulations make things, you know, just extra hoops for people to jump through, and it does put people off, for sure.
Yeah, I don't think the governments realize the impact of these things. You know, regulation is just oh, well, it will just change a few things. But, you know, 5-6 yacht not coming, that's a huge difference in the economy of these countries, because no matter what, they do spend quite a bit on shore as well. So, yeah. But there is at least one additional new reason to go to the Caribbean this winter. And this is a self-promotion, people. I wanted to discuss a little bit Boat's very own event in association with Belmont Hotels, which is called Between the Bays. Charlotte, would you want to say a little something about this great event coming up?
Sure. So it's really conveniently timed between two great sailing events. There's obviously the Superyacht Challenge Antigua, which is in between March 8th to the 14th. And then there's the St. Bart's Bucket later between March 16th to the 19th. So our event is kind of taking place in between those two, which is a great added extra slot in your schedule if you're going to be in that part of the world. And if you were kind of umming and ahhing about it, well, now you've got an even better reason to go and make a kind of trio of fantastic yachting events and make the most of some time in that fantastic part of the world. So it's just going to be a really friendly, easy program with loads of socializing, loads of sort of cruising between these two gorgeous Belmont properties, hence the name Between the Bays, kind of going to and from each property and each island. And there'll be a really fun social program too. You know, it should be a really, really good, lighthearted, fun, good-natured event for, you know, bringing together people who just love yachts and yachting and want to have a good time.
Yeah, it should be a really nice time.
I'm sure they will have a great time.
Yeah, I'm sure. I like this cruising company events. You know, it's always nice. You can bring friends and it's more relaxed. And of course, you know, a lot of yacht owners are like to compete a lot, you know, and that's why a lot of them attend the regattas as well. But there is room for that time of socializing. And that's what being on a yacht is, isn't it? Spending time with friends in gorgeous locations. So, yeah, I look forward to that. I hope I'll get to go. And I thought maybe we could talk about another event a little further into the future, the America's Cup in Barcelona. We are now just about 2 years away from AC 37, which will take place in September and October of 2024, as we said, in Barcelona, Spain. This week, BWA Yachting announced it will once again partner with the organizers on a super yacht program. So they will be managing the berths, bookings, providing access to VIP experiences, and, you know, managing the social calendars, that sort of thing. Barcelona is becoming quite the yachting hub already as well. I was there in May. I think everybody was there this summer. And the marinas were absolutely full of big yachts. I know I really love that city, the culture, the food, the shopping, and it now has superb yacht facilities. Have you been there, Charlotte?
You know, it's criminal that I haven't been to Barcelona. It's one of those ones that's on my list, and I hear more and more about it every year, and people, kind of owners, telling me how great it is. We did do a piece on it a while back, though, which I'll link in the description to this episode. We did a big piece on super yachting cities, and Barcelona was one of them. And we've done other episode guides to Barcelona as well. But one of the things I loved about, you know, reading about it is there's so much culture there as well. So, you know, obviously, like you said, it's incredibly well set up for yachts. You know, there's great refit yards, there's great restaurants and things, but there's also things like there's the museum, there's the big Picasso museum there's the Miro museum, or the Miro Foundation, sorry, and the there's a sort of temple of modern art, the, and I don't know how to say this, MACBA, MASPA, I don't know, something Spanish, but, you know, there's so much, MACBA, maybe that's it. I'm a Philistine, as you can tell, but I love that kind of stuff. And I love the idea of, you know, having that sort of yachty nightlife in the evening down by the marina, but being able to do these little day trips into the city. And there's just so much to see. And yeah, great tapas as well. Who doesn't like that?
No, those are wonderful. You always feel, oh, I'm just having a little bit, but really at the end, you're quite full. But yeah, it's a great way of testing all kinds of different foods. Yeah, I love Barcelona. And of course, it's a gateway as well, easy gateway to the islands there that are so popular with yachting. So, you know, not that far from Palma de Mallorca. So
yeah, well, like you say, I think it's going to be mega busy. So it's not kind of too early to start thinking about booking a berth if you intend on going, because I'm sure they'll be snapped up pretty quickly.
I'm sure it will.
So on to this week's news, and I thought we'd start with the story that we mentioned earlier on, which is the news that Motor Yacht My Saga has sunk. This is the news that the 39.4-metre yacht Mysaga has sunk in northern Italy, around 8 nautical miles from Cantazzaro Marina in the Gulf of Squillace. The sinking comes after the crew reported taking on water via the stern in the early hours of August 20th, so that was Saturday. The crew was evacuated and a tug was in the process of towing Mysaga to shore when she sunk at around 1 p.m. local time. Thankfully, all crew members were rescued from the vessel and no injuries were reported. A statement issued by the Italian Coast Guard noted that worsening weather conditions had made it challenging for the tugboat to bring her to port. If you look at video footage circulating on social media, that shows a heavy starboard list before the yacht finally foundered stern first. It's understood that the yacht was attempting to travel between Gallipoli in western Turkey to Milazzo on the northern coast of Sicily when the incident took place. A Romanian patrol boat intervened on behalf of the European Border and Coast Guard Agency, and a second patrol boat from the nearby Italian city of Crotone both stepped in to rescue the crew and attempt to tow the yacht to safety. Obviously, that didn't happen and an investigation is pending.
So on better news, FedShip has launched the 118-metre superyacht project 1010 at its shipyard in Makkum in the Netherlands. The yacht is FedShip's second largest new build under construction. It is eclipsed in length by 118.8-metre project 821, which is set for delivery in 2024. Also under construction at the shipyard is a 103-metre FedShip 1011. The 4999 gross ton yacht marks a significant milestone for FedShip at its longest launch to date, superseding the 110-meter Anna, which launched in 20. The yacht's midnight blue exterior come from Espenono, while interiors have been headed up by French studio Zuretti. First images indicate the yacht may have a main deck swimming pool and large helipad with a hangar on the upper deck. The project also appears to have a unique pod-style sky lounge encased by curved glass. Details have remained tightly under wraps. As per usual, the project was seen for the first time en route from Papendrecht to Makkum to begin outfitting in 2018. Following sea trials, Project 1010 is expected to see delivery in late 2022 or early 2023.
I love the look of that boat.
Yeah, it's very, very
absolutely handsome. Gorgeous.
Yeah, beautiful yacht. For her size, she's just very elegant.
Yeah, elegant's the right word. She looks kind of, yeah, incredibly delicate, really, given the size. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, FedShip is really launching those big yachts lately.
Yeah, for sure.
Lastly, we have the news that the 72.5-meter superyacht Axioma is set to be sold at auction on August 23rd after she was arrested at the end of March as a result of sanctions against Russia. It's a bit of a weird one for us here because we're recording on Monday the 22nd, and when this episode goes live on Wednesday, obviously, there should be news that she has been sold. Could be, at least. Do check our website, boatinternational.com, so we'll bring some fresh news to see if indeed she's sold and perhaps to whom, if we find out. She's the first Russian-owned superyacht to be listed for sale since the economic sanctions were introduced earlier this year. It is understood that she is to be auctioned following a loan violation, which has arisen now that the yacht's former owner has been added to the European Union's list of sanctioned individuals. A license granted by the US Treasury Department's Office of Foreign Assets Control has now authorized US-based buyers to participate in the sale.
I'm super interested in this story because when these first few kind of sanctioned superyachts got sort of seized, you know, there was so much talk around, well, what happens next? And right. Everyone was sort of saying, well, we don't know because this hasn't happened before. So this is the first case in point of, well, this is what happens when you sanction a yacht and the owner's been sanctioned. And, you know, obviously it's going up for sale and really interested to see who buys it, to see if they're not concerned about, you know, repercussions later down the line. I guess there won't be any. But yeah, it's a really interesting kind of case study to see this one. And I wonder if this will pave the way for more sales and things, because obviously these governments can't afford to hang on to these boats indefinitely. Right. They're a bit of a kind of hot potato. So yeah, I think this is the first of a few and it will be interesting to see who it goes to and for how much. If it's a kind of bargain, I guess not. I imagine there'll be quite a lot of interest, but we'll see.
I don't know. It's Axioma is a gorgeous yacht. I know it well. And yeah, we'll see what happens.
Okay, so that's the news. And now it's the moment you've all been waiting for. It's time for our weekly data report, as ever, brought to you by our exclusive market intelligence platform, Boat Pro. So this week, given that it's mid-August right now and it's sort of the peak of the summer season in the West Mediterranean, we thought we'd take a look at that part of the world, at what the most popular locations are today and how that's changed over time. So just a little kind of point of order for clarity, this data is only looking at yachts over 24 metres. So obviously some smaller boats have been to these areas, but they've not been included in these stats. So if we start off looking at the numbers of boats, if we look at 2019, there were 1,607 yachts going to the West Med. Then the following year, 2020, there were 1,689 yachts. Then in 2021, last year, there were 1,829, so 200 more. And then this year, there's been 1,851 boats. So more and more yachts going every year. As we can see, there's quite an quite an obvious rise in numbers heading to that part of the world. So if we have a look at kind of the most popular resorts and things like, most popular destinations in the West Med, first up, I'd say, is Palma. So there were 307 yachts in Palma this year. Last year, there were 294. The year before, there were 257. And 2019, there were 258. So almost identical numbers throughout 2019 and 2020, but about 50 more boats this year. Then one of the second most popular destinations was Cannes. If we take a look at Cannes, 220 yachts have been there this year, 216 last year, 195 back in 2020, but 230 in 2019. So you can see it's not quite returned to the kind of pre-pandemic levels, but it's obviously, you know, there's only 10 boats difference between this year and 2019. So it's climbing back up there as a destination. Then sticking with the south of France, the Saint-Tropez, there were 206 yachts visited Saint-Tropez this year. In 2019, there were 138. So that's a big jump in terms of numbers of boats going.
I don't know where they put them there.
I know. So that's climbed back up. So 2019, 138 boats went. 2020, 109 boats went. Bit of a drop there, probably because of COVID. Last year, there were 196 yachts, so that's kind of shot back up. And this year, 206 boats were there. Still staying in the south of France. Next up is Monaco. I was surprised Monaco was this far down the list, actually. But I guess outside of the kind of big landmark events, it's not somewhere people necessarily go and hang around in. And I guess it's also hard to get your yacht there. So 168 boats there this year, which is not as impressive as sort of pre-pandemic 2019. There were 180 boats there. 2020, that dropped to 129. And last year, there were 157. So it's gone from 180 down to 129, then back up to 157, and then finally at 168. So almost as it was in 2019. Next up, I was quite surprised by this one. Maybe you weren't, is Capri. The 150 boats went to Capri this year. 138 last year. There was a big dip in 2020 when only 84 boats went.
Wow.
And then if you look at 2019, 143 boats went. So similar levels to how it was in 2019, 8 boats difference there. Then this is one of my personal favorites, is Ibiza. Again, lots of these, you kind of see that they've kind of returned to the, you know, almost the same levels as before. So 159 boats went to Ibiza this year. Last year, it was 125. Year before that, it was 104. But in 2019, there were 166. So it's still lagging behind its 2019 totals. And then I don't know if you want to pull out some of the other kind of most popular ones. Cecile, I know that you mentioned Bonifacio was quite an interesting one.
Yeah, actually, I did notice that Bonifacio in Corsica has quite increased over since the last 4 years. So in 2019, there was only 53 yachts that visited there, dropping to 44 in 2020, picking up a little bit in 2021 with 61, but this year, 102. So that's quite a big jump there. I find that very interesting. It seemed to go hand in hand with a little bit of a consistent number of yachts going to Porto Cervo in Sardinia, which is the sister island kind of there. you know, Sardinia belongs to Italy and Corsica, although don't tell the Corsican that, to France, but but they're very close to each other. And it looks like this year the fleet has gone a little bit further south, maybe starting, you know, Capri and then going back, continuing down that direction. That's a very interesting thing. I don't know what's changed there in the island of Corsica, other than people maybe discovered how beautiful it is this year, or if they've done maybe some things to improve the yacht visits there. That's kind of an interesting number there.
Well, if you look at the Portofino numbers, their numbers have gone down. So I wonder if it's possible that people are kind of going for Corsica instead of Portofino, or spending less time there, because they had 57 yachts this year, 40 last year, 35, like a relatively small number. That's about the same as there were 35 yachts there in 2020 and 36 in Elba. So kind of similar numbers to there. 2019, they had 66 yachts. So they're still not kind of recovered. So I wonder if some of that comes from, comes from people not going to Portofino as much as they did.
Yeah, maybe they're just going cruising a little bit farther south this year. You know, Portofino is quite north, whereas Sardinia, Corsica, obviously, you could start in Capri and just keep going south, I guess. Interesting.
Well, if you're listening and you went to Corsica this year, tell us all about it.
Yeah,
drop us a line.
I would love to hear the experience of people going there.
Drop us a line. podcast@boatinternationalmedia.com. Always like hearing from people about their adventures and what they think. And I think that's all we've got time for this week.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thanks, Cecile.
Thank you, Charlotte.
Great to chat. And thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Boat Briefing, which was mixed and produced by Grace Nielsen and is a production of Boat International Media. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week.